I got into this. My why is to help people live with more joy and ease and focus and less chronic pain. And I know that it's worked for me.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Laura Gavigan. Laura, what's up? How are you? As if I don't know.
I know. Ben, I'm great. I'm really... It's weird. The whole world has been through this collective trauma for a couple of years, and I'm feeling energized and more peace, calm, and energy in my life that I haven't had in a while. Related to everything in my life, you know, my business, family, my professional development, friends, health. So something is aligning in the universe for me.
Something's aligning.
Yeah. Tomorrow could be totally different, but right now, and if we think about mindfulness right now, I feel great.
Well, that's what I want to hear. I think tomorrow you're still going to, for anyone listening, Laura and I just talked for over a half hour. We've never clicked record, and it's like, we got to eventually click record because you've just been on fire lately. For anyone who doesn't know Laura, she's a mindful meditation teacher, EFT practitioner, mentor, and coach with over 25 years of academic advising, coaching, and leadership in higher education. Currently, she's the founder, coach, teacher of Mindful Matters. Is there a 585 in there as well?
So technically, when I set up the LLC, it's Mindful Matters 585. So that is the business official name, but I do have a DBA for Mindful Matters. So either way is fine. Yeah.
Mindful Matters is just easy for me to spit out. Totally, Mindful Matters. Totally. But Mindful Matters 585, it's interesting because as you know, this is the Rochester section of the podcast, and it's everything, whether you know this or not, listeners might not know, this started as Rochester Business Connections, and now there's all these segments, and we have like listeners in Bangladesh and all these crazy places. Cool. But you're a Rochester, you're here locally in my hometown, the 585. If anyone doesn't know, 585 is Rochester, New York, and Mindful Matters. Give us the bird's eye view. What is Mindful Matters? What do you do?
So I'm a counselor, I'm a coach, and I kind of grouped the classes and workshops and retreats and things as consulting, just kind of under that umbrella. Mm-hmm. So I have all these kind of ways that I know have helped me manage my own stress, anxiety, just life, like being human. And that has come from a lot of different things that are basically mindfulness and mindful skills practice. So when I was thinking about a name for the business, mindfulness, definitely, you know, and well, it matters. It's like anything applies, like, it matters, mind your matters. We need to talk about those matters.
I like so, your mind matters.
Your mind matters. Yep. That's your mind matters. Your mind. I'm gonna write that down, Ben.
That's what came to my mind.
I want to share our little laugh earlier when I was referring to something about mental wellness, and I had a little, I don't know, Freudian or slip. I said mental hellness. And I love that, because sometimes, you know, stress and being human, it can come, sometimes feel like a little bit or a lot of a psychological hell to be in sometimes. You know, there's a lot of Buddhist thought about that, the psychological hells that we can be in. But mental hellness.
Let's talk about mental hellness, because okay. I've been there. I know you've been there from the conversations we had. Yeah. Everyone listening has been in that place where they're like, I feel like I deserve more. I mm-hmm. should be doing this, but I feel like all my momentum's stunted. And I feel like I'm like in my own mental prison. And even a lot of times people around you are like, you're doing great. You look great. You're kicking it. But you just feel this, what we just coined mental hellness.
Yeah.
Talk about what you do and how it gets us out of that struggling place.
So first off, I want to say that human beings experience mental hellness on some level without a doubt. I mean, mm-hmm. we all do. It's human. And many times we don't know that. Like, it can be an invisible hell, right? Mm-hmm. So Ben, if you and I hadn't gotten to know each other a little better in our conversations, you know, I mean, we shared. So I know that's a part of you, but people go through life thinking, am I the only one that is feeling this way? You know, stuck or down or can't sit still and anxious. And I remember having this thought in my head, like, I feel like I'm in a paper bag and I'm trying to punch my way out and I can't, you know, it was just this feeling of I'm stuck. So first of all this is simply put the human condition. Okay. Psychologically and neurologically, I'm going to keep it really simple because I'm not a neuroscientist. Okay. So, and I don't pretend to be, but also, you know, let's keep it simple. Let's not stress out about
absolutely.
Science and math, right? Oh, math can be an anxiety attack. So as humans, we have stress responses. Stress is always going to be there. And it can be stress in all lowercase level letters, all caps. The thing is that our minds and bodies react just like we did when we were cave people. Okay. So we go to these, you were speaking about that feeling stuck or me like fight, you know, trying to fight my way out of a paper bag. So the most common stress responses when we encounter something that activates us as being a threat or a danger, like a saber-toothed tiger for our cave people, we freeze. Well, let me back up. Hey, fight, flight, or freeze. I think a lot of people have heard those terms. So fighting doesn't necessarily mean fists up and fighting with someone. It can be like, oh, I can't just get me out of here with that paper bag or having words or feeling like we need to lash out.
Throwing my water bottle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Reactions. And then, so flight is kind of like, you know, I'm going to run from that saber-tooth tiger. I'm going to run from that person that I know really stresses me out or I'm not going to look at my budget because I'm having a stress response to that. So I'm going to run away. I'm going to distract myself and run away from it. Okay. So it can manifest in all these different ways. And then freeze is when we get that stuck and it can be, I can't believe that just happened. I don't know what to do with that. Or, there's too many choices. Choice overload is a thing, you know. I can't choose. This is really stressful. I'm going to freeze, and I'm going to order the thing that I always order because I know I like it. and all of these stress responses are totally, if I can use the word normal, which I don't love the word normal, they're human, and this is what we do. The beauty of it, though, is noticing when it happens. And this is where mindfulness comes in. Okay. So right now, if someone were to knock on my office door, I'd be like, the do not disturb sign is on. I told you not, I'm in a podcast with Ben and leave me. instead, I'm noticing that I'm getting activated. My shoulders are coming up and I want to fight whoever is knocking on that door. Right. Yeah. So it's that space to decide whether to respond and how. instead of throwing the water bottle. I love that.
And I'm not a neuroscience either, but it's you're releasing cortisol the same way that if the saber-toothed tiger was attacking you, you'd release cortisol, which is a stress response in the body. And that person knocking on the door mid-podcast possibly could release that same level of cortisol as the freaking saber-toothed tiger once did.
Yes.
What do we do? Because here's the thing. I'd like to just stop that from occurring within me, but let's say something happens. My boss is upset with me. A client wants to cancel. Do someone walks in on this podcast right now and I start to have that stress response. What do I do in that moment? Because I can't stop it from happening, but I can stop what happens next, right?
Yeah. So we can't ever stop stress or stress responses. It's not a let's fix this and it won't ever happen again. It just is. Okay. But we can stop it from going, like, say on a scale on a 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Straight to 10. Close the door. I'm in this podcast and throw in the water bottle, or we'll just go with this scenario. Yeah. And let's call that like an 8, maybe a 7 or an 8 response. Okay. If we pause and notice it with curiosity and compassion, and those are some kind of corny type words, but it really helps to be like, all right, yeah, internally, that 7 or 8 can come down. We can help it come down to more of like a 3 or a 4. Like, yeah, there he goes again, interrupting me, and like I'm feeling frustrated, whatever, sad, the feelings, you know, noticing it and like, okay, what do I want to do with that? And it's quick, and they don't call it a practice for nothing. It's practice. And practicing and noticing how to be mindful, especially in stressful situations, can help bring that from that 8 or 9 down to a 3 or 4. The cortisol, like the words on the tip of my tongue, that the hormones that then calm down that cortisol takes the energy down in our body. The shoulders drop. The stomach unclenches. We feel it neck and shoulders, stomach and lower back mostly.
And we can kind of like be scientists, I imagine, and be like, oh, this is that thing that Laura lady was talking about. Yeah. and laugh about it a little bit.
Right,
like, oh, it's happening again.
And I do it totally. Like I learned a few years ago that when I get stressed, I would really tense up in my neck and shoulders, which created a lot of back. And I had to have emergency back surgery 3 years ago because I didn't know that I was doing it was unconscious. So it is that humor in it. I'll notice, I'll be like, oh, there it goes. And I'll put my hand like, it's okay. Their muscles are trying to help us and distract us from the stress, or like, yeah, let's fight. And again, I'm not talking about I'm an actual fist fight. Like I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. And I call, I actually named it. So, this is Betty. Especially my right shoulder goes, I'm like, Betty, it's okay. I got this.
Mm-hmm. Betty. So Betty. I know a little bit about this, but the listener might not. Why did you name your right shoulder? It doesn't have to be specific your right shoulder, but why did you name it?
There's a few reasons. One, and it's nothing, even just so you know, it's not like I don't have a Betty or ever had a person named Betty in my life.
It's not someone you resent that you're trying to yell at.
I deliberately didn't do that. Like it could have been that girl in high school or, you know, that whoever at work. I deliberately just kind of picked that name so that it wasn't associated with Morse. But it gives us a little bit of control and power over it by naming the thought, the feeling, labeling it, brings the attention mentally, so mind, body, and soul to, okay, it's happening. Hey, Betty, how you doing? And you may have heard this before, like make friends with your
any
challenges. Yeah. And I mean, we're not friends. I'd say we're the kind of like in the same room together, but we're respectful, we're collegial, you know? Mm. It's giving it a name. It's having a sense of empowerment and ownership over our own stress responses and lives and bodies and minds, you know? And if it's done in a way that it's like, Betty, calm down, escalating the violence, if you will, more like, Betty, you're part of me and I get that. And you're trying to help. It's good. It's good. It's cool. Now, am I good at this all the time? No, because I'm human. And Ben, I want to share like kind of a reframing too of noticing being mindful in our lives. So we've kind of focused on stress and how it might affect our bodies and minds and how to do that. A really, really beautiful thing about being mindful is paying attention and enjoying the good stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like right now, no one's knocking on the door interrupting my time with you in this podcast.
Yeah.
And how often do we notice not having a toothache or not having back pain or not being in conflict with someone we care about? Doesn't have to be all body. I was trying to switch it up to different things.
Yeah. I know personally, like I'm always, I love doing this podcast because I get to spend this time one-to-one with you, no distractions, no phones. I almost sometimes forget that other people are listening as well. And that's a second level of gratitude that I get to spend this time with you and we get to help other people while we do it. And I cherish that.
Yeah.
Like, so is that an example of mindfulness? I know it's gratitude. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. To be able, and especially on Zoom, I mean, we're not even in the same room together, but to notice that we are connecting on a very human level, enjoying it. Not thinking about, well, what's this going to look like to people watching it or listening to it, or, you know, does my hair look okay? Right. More like, what am I doing right now? This is pretty cool in this moment, you know, not how's it going to be edited or, oh, I wish I had gotten some notes out about that earlier. Just, it's time with Ben. Ben and I are sharing space and maybe other people get something out of it too.
It's fascinating. I'm stuck in my head on like, I listen to a lot of podcasts and it's fascinating the intimacy we get to share with each other just in a long form conversation. Yeah. Where I'm not editing out a mishap like this. This is just a conversation. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a podcast. I kind of, You are on fire. What are other situations? Is it food, water? I want you to take it. What are other times that we can like sit back and be mindful? Like we're not stressed, but we can actually get more. You tell me if this is correct. We can have a good thing, but we can just get more good out of the good thing, right?
Yeah. I love that. Write that down, Ben. Yes, exactly. So this noticing and paying attention and getting in the habit. Even if starting out, we schedule it like we would, you know, some people are like, oh, my Fitbit said I need to get up and walk around for 30 seconds. Maybe then it's, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to notice like, what do I see? What do I smell? What do I hear? What am I feeling? What am I feeling in my body? Am I tense? Am I relaxed? And what am I feeling? What am I feeling emotionally feeling, you know, giving a label to like, I feel really calm. I feel happy. I feel grateful. And it can also intertwine. I'm feeling really sad or anxious about that. And I'm also feeling grateful that, I have a warm cup of coffee or, you know, my internet connection is good right now. And I'm not saying to always look for the good because, I kind of struggle with the positive vibes only.
Good vibes only.
Yeah, and I know it comes from a really good place, and I'm not it's not like it's a terrible thing. It's just that life is always a balance of the good, the bad, the pleasure, the pain, the comfort, the discomfort. So to put that on us, like positive vibes only, is it's just too much to ask.
Do you feel like good vibes, positive vibes only is almost like in that fight, flight, freeze? Like, whoa, 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 good vibes only almost like shames the way you're feeling.
Yeah.
It like pushes, it either pushes or runs, or it's like, nope, nope, not going to tackle this right now.
Right. Like, we're not allowed to feel sad or angry or, dare I say, hate. You know, it's like this forbidden feeling. And the thing is, these are all feelings that we have. And it doesn't mean we have to be like, I hate you. but to notice, like, I'm kind of feeling, seeing, I'm even apologizing for it as I say it, because I was, you know, I was raised like, no, I'm going to paraphrase this, but like, especially for women, like sugar and spice and everything nice. What do you mean you're feeling hate or anger? Like that's not allowed. Good vibes only.
Yeah. Stand straight, smile, and just walk through it.
Yeah. Your posture, send a thank you note, you know, like this is what good girls do and good boys do, or, you know, good humans do. and the thing is that limits the full spectrum of the human experience and all of our feelings, and to be able to stay with the painful stuff or the uncomfortable stuff. It's not easy. It takes enormous strength and courage. And we could practice with burnt toast. I mean, maybe some people out there love burnt toast, but, you know, oh, I made that piece of toast. It's burnt. This sucks.
I'll eat it. I like it burnt, but not covered in
it. You like it well done?
Yeah.
All right. So let's work with that. So suppose, you know, you like it well done. And you got distracted by something and it stayed in 20 seconds longer than it should have. And I don't know if this has ever happened and if you want to share, but perhaps it's like, oh man, I wasn't paying attention.
Specifically, what used to happen to me all the time is I would make egg in bread in a pan. And if you walk away from the pan too long, your bread will burn at the bottom. So that's definitely happened a lot of times.
Okay. Do you recall how you felt or about like towards yourself or towards the frying pan or anything at all?
It's funny because especially there's a term, I forget who coined it, the IKEA effect. And the concept behind the IKEA effect is if I built it, if I cooked it, if I did it, I'm going to be biasly in favor of it because it's I did it. So, oh, this table is not wobbly. I built it, but it's like wobbling all over the place. So I feel like I would convince myself that it wasn't burned. Okay. I would convince myself that it was fine, but realistically, like it didn't taste good. Like it was too good. Does that make sense?
It does. Like you'd put on your game face and be like, well, I made this.
Put on a mask of some sort. Yeah.
So you're distracting and not allowing the... Well, sorry, I'm saying that in a really bossy way. I don't mean.
Oh.
What you're feeling is this, Ben.
First you say you hate me, now you're...
We're going to do the full spectrum of feeling. How's my hair look? Okay, yeah, let me put myself in that situation. I burnt the grilled cheese sandwich. And there's no more bread in the house. And this is it. You know, like, fine. I'll eat it, but I'm not going to like it. And then kind of beating myself up about it. Like, can't you pay attention like for 2 minutes to make a grilled cheese sandwich? So do you hear how I'm talking to myself? Like, that's really mean. Like, Ben, I wouldn't say to you, Ben, can't you pay attention for 2 minutes and make that egg and bread thing?
No, so you're bullying yourself. Almost.
Yeah. Instead of, all right, I burnt it. Do I want to eat it or not? But not white knuckling through the burnt grilled cheese if it's a gentle, kinder. I guess I'm having a banana for lunch. I don't know.
Yeah.
Taking it as it comes. There's a great quote, Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is sort of the, simply put, you know, one of, or the guy who brought, you know, the Eastern Buddhist meditative mindfulness and into a Western secular practical everyday practice. Okay. And he has this quote that I absolutely love. And I even have a card sitting to my side that says, you can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf. Can't stop the stress. So do you want to have them crash on you every time? That's exhausting and not fun at all. So, oh, burnt toast. Ooh, perfect toast.
So
simple metaphor, not simple to do.
The simplest things often, like, I don't know why, but they feel the most difficult at times.
Yeah.
The metaphor is simple, but so this isn't something I'm sure the listener maybe they do, maybe they don't, but just to clarify, this isn't something that, oh, I'm just going to be mindful today at 10:15. And when I'm done with my mindfulness, I can check that off my list. And I'm good to go. It's not as simple as doing mindfulness for once or once. We'll give you some practices and you do it one time and then you're suddenly a more mindful person.
You're fixed.
Yeah. This is like something that even the people that are studying it are practicing regularly, right?
Yeah, it's it is kind of like anything that we do for ourselves that is nourishing or helpful, words that I like to use. And we can schedule it just to kind of get into the habit. That's part of it. You know, any kind of habit or any sort of practice, you know, it's all very individual. Like, what time of day would work to start a little bit of practice with this? Is it when I wake up in the morning? You know, what's my morning routine? And some days when I'm good at it, before I even get out of bed, I'll kind of like do a couple little stretches and put my arms out, like kind of a chest opener. And instead of I want, I need, I should, all the things that are coming in the day, I say to myself, I'm open to, I invite, you know, new clients or seeing an old friend or a great piece of toast. Like I'm open to it. And that's a way to be mindful. And it's a way to shift that mindset, not to good vibes only. Like, today is going to be the best. I'm going to, you know, everything's going to go great because I say so right now. I mean, okay, but we know how that goes, right?
So you can even invite the bad vibes. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be like destroyed by them or like taken. You can be a warrior and invite the bad vibes, but not like, you don't have to avoid them. It doesn't have to be good vibes only.
Exactly. I mean, we don't have to go out there and be like, hey, bring on all the people. Right. Because they're going to come and it can be, you know, it can be burnt toast or it can be, you know, a loss, you know, a death of someone that we really love or a job we didn't get or you know, go on forever. All the painful and really uncomfortable things, they're going to come just like the joyful ones come. But what we do is we tend to notice the bad ones and not pay attention to the good ones. I don't always love good, bad, but that's why I'm using my air quotes. I guess what I'm saying is invite maybe, or I know that the day is not going to be all kittens and rainbows. And when some things happen that are not aligned with what I really would like and feel great about, they're going to happen, and allow it.
If the day was all kittens, we'd have a lot of scratched up furniture anyways.
Ben, you are like on fire today with all these quotes. Talk about like who's going to trademark this stuff. Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, you know, that's so, I love that because we have a kitten, you know, we have three cats and one's a kitten.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, kittens are fun and joyful and hilarious. And then they do scratch our furniture. So there's a great, you know, way of thinking about it. Like, her name's Suki, T-S-U-K-I, which means moon in Japanese.
Oh, and, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I'd brought her in, but she's so cute. And then she's so naughty too. And because she's a kitten and because we're human, we're going to be cute and funny and successful and eat kale and be all the things. And then we're also going to scratch the furniture just like Suki does sometimes. And she doesn't have opposable thumbs or the depth of intellectual critical thinking that we have to say, oh, look, I'm scratching the furniture again as a human being. Why am I doing that? That's interesting. I'm doing that again. Well, why am I scratching? What am I distracting myself
from? Another trademarkable, I'm thinking this through. So if we know not to scratch the furniture, we're intellectual beings. We know not to scratch the furniture. Mm-hmm. Why do we scratch our own furniture?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of thought on that. do you want to go down the Freud pathway?
Sure.
There's a term called the repetition compulsion, and we as human beings do this. We sometimes do the same things over and over and over again and expect a different outcome, and then we're like, wait, I can't believe that happened to me again. You're doing the same
thing. Why does this keep happening?
Why does this keep happening to me? Why is my bank account negative numbers? Oh, I keep like, you know, bin shopping. So we do it, and it's, I think of it as like a mindful practice to be like, instead of why do I keep doing this? Why does this keep happening? To be like, this keeps happening to me. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I know that I shouldn't go, that I shouldn't binge shop when, you know, when the holidays are coming up. I know this. I know if I go to the gym, if I eat less and move more, I'll lose weight and be in better shape. Like, we know this. So why, right? And not going, oh, beating ourselves up, but like, why do I do that? There's a line in a Pink song and she says, why do I do that? Why do I do that? Why do we do that? So in my head, sometimes when I think about this and to, with curiosity, say, why do I do that? Oh, maybe I do that because that I learned that somewhere. I heard that somewhere that I'm not allowed to feel hate. Mm-hmm. And so when I do, then I'm like, you're not allowed to, that's not an acceptable feeling. Well, who said? So doesn't mean. Yeah, go ahead.
Did I cut you off? Do you want to?
No. We're bantering. Yeah, I could tell you had a good thought. I'm allowing it.
My question was going to be: so, what you're exhibiting right now is a lot of introspection.
Yeah,
it's within all of us as humans, but how do we get better at having that introspection in our lives? Like, how do we get better at that introspection?
Mm-hmm. It's practice, because it doesn't always happen naturally, or maybe it does. We don't notice it, or we push it away. So maybe like we schedule time to go for a walk or go to the gym to have, okay, at 10 a.m., I'm just going to stop. I'm going to pause. I'm going to do a check-in. It can be sensory. You know, notice one thing you see, notice one thing you hear outside of the room, inside the room, notice something that you smell, bring it into the body. Are there any areas of tension? Can I let go of that? What am I feeling? And I always put my hands on my heart when I talk about like emotional feelings, you know, mm-hmm. am I feeling worried or or happy or angry, and not judging it. So that's the other layer of mindfulness, without judgment. So doing it intentionally, paying attention to the moment with curiosity and without judgment. And that the without judgment is very hard to do, you know.
Talk about that, because when I think without judgment, we'll go back, there's a water bottle in front of me. Yeah. If I throw this, I will catch it. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm able to catch it is because I can judge the speed it's falling, the weight. It requires judgment. To live in this world, it requires some level of judgment.
Okay.
So when I have a thought, it's hard not to have judgment, because I feel like my brain's wired to try to place things in the right. Like, I feel like my brain, and maybe it's just Ben's brain, I feel like my brain's judging everything always. So the concept of no judgment is the water bottle falling on the floor because I don't catch it. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I want to ask you a question. Can you say more about how, like, in that scenario, how you would define judgment?
In the scenario of the water bottle?
Yeah. So are you saying, like, you're activated about something, you pick up the water bottle and you're going to throw it in frustration, or?
Just the judgment of having the capacity to catch it, to move it, to lift it. My brain is constantly perceiving.
Okay.
And since my brain's constantly perceiving, I'm constantly judging in one way or another, because how else would we know if we're in pivotal danger without judgment? How else would we know not to drop glass if we didn't know how to hold it and judge the weight of it? I feel like we're wired for this judgment to keep us safe and functional. So then when it's an emotional trigger, I feel like my brain goes to judgment just on its own.
Yeah. Okay. Bunch of different things here. Mm-hmm. Yes, the brain goes there, because that's how, in many ways, it's worked really well for us. And it's not saying to, like, Ben, your brain is perfect just as it is. Okay. If it's not exhausting you and throwing the water bottle is not making a situation worse, cool. Okay. The word judgment, I'm thinking, when I heard you talking about your kind of definition of it, is more like a intellectual calibrating, like what's next.
It's almost like a function of perception to calibrate and be able to operate and not just be like mush in the corner.
We don't want that. No, we don't want to be mush in the corner, and we also don't want to be flat. Okay. Mm. So if I'm like, yay, happy, joyful, like kittens and rainbows and, you know, death and swamp land and stinky stuff. Okay. One extreme.
Kittens, rainbows, and
kittens, rainbows and burnt toast.
Yes.
This is exhausting, one extreme to the other. And we don't want to be here. That's no fun. And that's not living either. Right. It's more of this or this, like it's squishy. It's
like a dance.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
movement and jump and surprise.
Right. Right. Now, so absolutely you have to have judgment. Okay. Because we need those stress responses. If we walk out in front of a bus, we want that to be like, bus, get back on the sidewalk. Saber-tooth tiger. You know, it's our survival instincts. When I'm talking about judgment, what I mean, I think, is a little bit more of a psychological judgment, or what you're talking about is psychological too, more of a value or feelings judgment, like that I threw the water bottle.
Like a shame-based judgment.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have thrown the water bottle.
I
shouldn't be triggered. I should be able to catch the water bottle when I drop it.
Mm-hmm.
I should be able to get good grades and be the best in my class.
Yeah. Why is everyone else catching the water bottle and I'm not?
Mm.
And going down that pathway. Okay. So coming back to that, in any particular moment, do you want to do it, Ben? Do you want to just like, maybe you can do a check-in and right in this moment, tell me what you notice around you, like an object. Okay. So, you know, look around on your desk or the room that you're in and just, you can say it out loud or just to yourself.
One thing that's humorous to me, and anyone looking at the video, I'll point it out, is I have a brand new camera. It's right mm-hmm. in front of me, but my old camera is still mm-hmm. on my monitor mm-hmm. over next to it. And once in a while I look at it, but it's not on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, should I turn it on and have like two views or like, So when you say, what are you noticing? I'm just noticing this camera that's idle, not plugged in next to my actual camera. And it distracts me a little bit.
Oh, this is so great. Thank you. Like we couldn't have written the script better. Okay. So you notice that camera and then your mind went to all these thoughts of it's not even working. Why am I looking at it? Oh, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I heard it. I thought we got cut off. Sorry.
I think that was just a, I don't know. That was like a bell.
Okay. We're out of time. And I went to, we're out of time. Okay. No, not at all. So you notice the camera, it's an object, you know, okay. And camera, instead of moving on, you stayed there and you were like, and this isn't bad. This, please, I'm not. It's not like. And then you did this. It's we're noticing here. That camera's there. It's not even working. Why am I looking at it? Should I be doing something with that? Maybe later I'll get that camera rigged up so I can maximize its potential.
Yeah, I have multi views. Right. I'm already looking at solutions.
right. Instead of being in the moment and just noticing. Because if we notice, there's a thought, and thoughts often lead to feelings and planning. Okay, so this is a great exercise. You notice the camera; it's an object.
I'm actually going to take it in.
Show me. Oh, see, no, okay. You don't have to do anything with the camera; it's there. Because notice this. This is taking away from being mindful to where we are.
Yeah, I literally got distracted and completely like unraveled.
Not a bad thing. It didn't hurt me. It didn't like, you know, it's not life or death, anything like that. It's a really simple in the moment example of how easily we are distracted. And then, hang on, let's come back to, all right, great. I noticed something, a thing that I had thoughts and feelings about. A way to come back is like labeling those thoughts. Oh, mm-hmm. Planning. Come back to the noticing, the object. There's a camera. It doesn't mean anything. It's an object.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want with it, but you can choose. You don't have to grab it in the moment.
It's also having no effect. So it's not plugged in.
Right.
It's not recording. Mm-hmm. It's not affecting any of the things around me. Mm-hmm. For example, I have a pen over here. The pen's not doing mm-hmm. anything. So why do I get caught up?
Because you're human. You're human. That is what our brains do. And that's so I want to really say clearly and compassionately to you, like me noticing these things is not a criticism. It's not pointing out your faults. It's what we do. You know, I have a can of seltzer over here that I keep looking at. I'm a little thirsty, but you know, mm-hmm. it's in a can. Sometimes it looks like maybe I'm drinking something other than its actual seltzer, what mandarin orange. You know, do I want to hold up something that's branded? So instead of just, you know.
What are your thoughts on it? Because another thing that I think instinctively happened is part of why, and I'll do it once again, is I picked up and I kind of like showed the camera. Because I wanted to like, for whatever reason, I wanted to give a visual of it. I thought it would be more entertaining if I did that. And it's almost like I'm out of the moment slightly, because I know that it's being recorded for an audience and I want to entertain the audience, which actually takes me slightly out of the present and into, well, this is going to be created and published. I can't be, this is not exactly my thought process, but let's look at it.
Get it.
I can't be totally present because that'll be boring. And if I'm boring, no one's going to listen. And if no one listens, what's the point? That's not exactly where my mind goes, but it's where my mind can go in scenarios like that.
Where all of our minds can go. And so I'm going to, now this is a great place to insert the without judgment. So not the mechanical or recalibration definition of judgment, but more, why did I need to show that camera? It wasn't necessary. Oh, I have to entertain.
Yeah.
You didn't have that tone. I'm inserting that a little bit. Yeah,
but my inner self kind of, well, my inner self kind of has that tone sometimes.
Yeah, right.
And then my outer self puts on a facade that my inner self isn't feeling it. But my inner self often possibly does. Mm-hmm.
So tell me, let's do another like quick timeout. Let's check in with your body after, you know, saying that, because that is a lot and it's vulnerable and you're talking about what's going on in your head right now. Do you feel any areas of your body tense or, you know, maybe energized, whatever you feel, anything?
What's in, this is kind of a sidestep, but due to the location of everything in my room, my sitting position is slightly uncomfortable always.
Okay.
And if I were to get in like a really comfortable position, I'd be like off camera, slouched over. I've got, so it's interesting, and noticing for me is great because the question I ask myself is, how do I set up my home studio where I feel like I have a little level of discomfort almost at all times, just from the way the placement, like I wasn't mindful on how I place things. I'll give you a really simple example. My monitor, I have my laptop, and then you're on a huge screen, like a massive TV screen, basically.
Makes my stomach clench.
But the size of the screen, well, here's the thing. You're not even full screen on it, because if I made you full screen, you'd be like way too low, and I wouldn't be able to make eye contact. The camera's too high. Mm-hmm. And since the screen's big, which makes the camera too high, which forces me to elevate my sitting position, which makes it difficult to ground my feet on the floor. And it's almost like these tiny little mindless details that I don't really notice unless I think it through actually has me sitting in an uncomfortable posture.
Right. And at the end of the day, physically, you're going to kind of feel, do you feel off or, you know, unbalanced, or
my lower neck can feel a little tense. And I think anyone who's on Zoom all day possibly gets that. My lower neck gets tense. I don't know if that can completely go away if I'm on Zoom all day, but the question I'm asking myself is, how do I set up my environment where I can reduce that?
Okay. I'm gonna challenge you to come back to that thing again where you were like, I'm showing the camera. No one needs to see the camera, but I feel the need.
Yeah.
What are you feeling? And you know what? I don't want to push you. I don't like cold calling or forcing people to experience their feeling.
Yeah.
So we can pass on it. It's completely up to you. But when you were talking about that whole, you know, why do we do that? Did you notice any tightness in your belly or your shoulders or neck? Not related to how you've set up your office, but to your body talking to you.
I noticed the neck part probably because it's possibly low level coming up all the time, but I'm not paying attention to it. I don't know if I noticed a new response, but I noticed an acknowledgement of what was there. So I can't tell you that it was created, or I can't tell you if it was created or already there, Yeah, but I did notice it.
It's just noticing it. Yep.
Yeah.
And perhaps, so here's an invitation to you and your audience is next time someone or something, let's trigger or activates, or, you know, you recognize it's a stressful moment. Just real quick, be like, do I feel that anywhere in my body? It's said, and I don't know, that sometimes anxiety or dread, shame shows up in our bellies. And the fight response, or the performing, the perfectionism, the people pleasing that I've struggled with, that shows up in neck and shoulders. And then it's interesting to think of that whole, like, sit up straight, you know, just to practice good posture by walking around a room with a book on my head when I was a teenager. Wow. Like, yeah. Right? So it all comes down to just noticing. And when I say without judgment, what I'm getting at is not going to a place where we are feeling a need to change it, mm-hmm. feeling a need to explain it, show it, or beat ourselves up about it. That's the judgment. Like, oh, my neck hurts. See, I'm never going to be able to relax in situations like these. That's my whole thing of, like, you know, you go down that spiral.
You're going down like a spiral, a rabbit hole of negative judgment. And again, it's not good vibes only. It's don't make something that's normal bad.
That's
basically what's going through my head. It doesn't have to be good vibes only, but if it's neutral, or if it's out of your control, don't just label it bad and judge it negatively,
or try and push away, distraction. That's what we do. It's the distraction.
Or maybe in, like, social kind of cultural situations, like making an assumption without asking the question first, assuming someone's bad because of X, Y, and Z without actually knowing who they are.
Yeah. And that's not always easy to do. It's not easy to do with other people. It's even harder with ourselves.
Sure.
But yeah, exactly. Like asking some gentle questions, like, I don't know. Why do I keep looking? I'll keep looking at that seltzer can. There it is.
My brisk, I fill water in it, and I just read pink lemonade. And if you were to ask me what flavor brisk that was before I refilled it with water, I wouldn't have known. Because it's just, I never took the time to be mindful enough to read the pink lemonade. To me, it's just a water bottle.
Yeah. So I'm going to add a layer, and then, and we don't want to bore the audience.
Okay? Yeah. Well, I think we do. I want to get you out the door, cause I know you have to scoot out in a second. So we're going to add a layer.
Yeah.
And we're going to close with something actionable to do today.
Okay.
And then we're going to thank you. And then we're going to send you off on the road. Cause I could do another hour and a half of this. So
we're very busy and important, Ben. Yes,
I am so busy and important.
I really am too. That's why we get along. So now you kind of have a little bit of an understanding about that noticing, you know, and, so what do you do? You notice it. And I'm going to bring up an example of, sometimes if I feel really ungrounded and all over the place and unfocused because I'm thinking about the seltzer and the bottle. Da, 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 da. So I'm noticing that's happening. I want to try and, like, interrupt it and bring myself back to a place of focus and paying attention. And right. So different ways to do that. And you mentioned earlier, it's hard to put your feet flat on the floor the way that you're sitting. But if you can, putting our feet flat on the floor is an immediate physical somatic grounding. Okay. And if you want, I can take it more into, like, a little guided visual and imagery with that. Mm-hmm. In your your chair. Notice you're coming back to where you are physically. Your chair is supporting you. I can't see if you have a back to your chair.
Yeah, I do.
And so, you know, leaning back a tiny bit, you know, not, you don't have to be like, oh, but the back of your chair literally has our backs. And So my feet are on the floor. I notice how my thighs and my bottom are supported on the chair. Are my shoulders up? Ooh, sometimes they are a lot. Okay. See if I can notice it and let them drop and let my whole body ground and be strong and focused and in this moment. And also like a tree, kind of still flexible because like we don't want to be flat. We also don't want to be rigid.
Yeah. That's the balancing with a book on your head, stiff and rigid in a sense.
Yes. I wish I could go back in time. I bet you my shoulders were up to my ears doing that.
So we're going to do this again.
Yeah.
For now. And I mean, I recommend someone listen back and take notes if they didn't the first time. There's been so many applicable examples you provided today. So feel free to use one you already have used or something new. Okay. But if we were to take the pen and paper session, like, and if you're driving, you don't have to pull over, just make a mental note. But if I were to write this down and do one thing different today, ideally something that maybe I could do every day, but just do one thing different today, what do you recommend we start with?
See if throughout the day, and write it down, one thing that you notice with your eyes visually. And for someone, and I'm going to give a blanket statement here. If someone is vision impaired, skip it. Okay. And when I say, you know, notice something that you hear, I acknowledge not everyone has the privilege of all the senses. And by the way, breath can be traumatic for some people who have been through, you know, significant trauma in their lives. So this just breathe positive vibes. It minimizes people's experience. Okay. So I'm giving that blanket statement, but to the best that you can, stop, takes 30 seconds. Notice something you see. Notice something you hear. Notice something maybe you smell. Notice how your body feels. Is there any tension? And can you just take 3 breaths in through your nose? And sigh it out. You can even integrate the breath coming into your belly, like you're filling up a balloon with your breath. And then deflating. Now, breath is your anchor. It's there. Inviting breath into your belly enacts your parasympathetic nervous system, which calms down those hormones we talked about earlier, the stuff that triggers all your stress responses. It's calming. You can close your eyes. You don't have to. So these are things you could do in a car, in a meeting, in bed. Very practical everyday things. So at some point today, just grab a pen, write down the things that you notice, take 3 breaths, and I'm going to give you a journal prompt. That sounds like way more homeworky than it is. You have the pen, you've written down the things.
It's an invitation.
It's an invitation. Thank you, Ben. I am inviting you to consider what you could say no to today to open up some time and space for yourself. And it doesn't mean you have to do anything, but it's hard to say no to things. What could you say no to that might take a little bit of stress off your plate? And what could you say yes to that would invite some energy or something new or a different perspective? Okay. So noticing, breath. What could you say no to? What could you say yes to?
Sounds easy enough.
Okay, Ben, I'm going to check in with you. I'm going to grade this homework.
And anyone listening, I encourage you, send me a DM, send Laura a message. Let us know what your experience was.
Yeah, I would love to hear how that was, just whatever. And you can find me easily, Ben, get to Ben or...
Tell us, because I will add it to the show notes or someone can write it down right now as well. Okay. How would someone get in touch with you and continue the conversation?
At Mindful Matter, just remember Mindful Matters 585. So the website is .com. Instagram is at, Facebook is Mindful Matters 585. LinkedIn, everything. If you can remember Mindful Matters 585.
Mindful Matters 585. It's in the description. One quick question.
Wait, there's a bug on my wall. I got distracted.
Okay. Love it.
That's just a bug. Okay.
You're obviously from my hometown of Rochester, New York, but we're doing this on Zoom. Mm-hmm. If someone wants to reach out and they're not in the area, they can reach out to you as well, correct?
Oh, definitely, definitely. So I do a lot of things remotely on Zoom. I have an office in the city of Rochester in the area called the South Wedge. For people who live in Rochester, you know that. I live in Fairport, but I go out and about and travel. And I have done classes internationally too. You can pay my airfare and I'll come in person, or we can do on Zoom or Google Meet, like whatever works best. A little bit, it helps.
Laura, we only scratched the surface. Like I had written down beforehand, like college advisor to mindfulness coach, and you and I did a session together that we didn't touch on. So there are so many stones yet skipped. Is that a phrase? There's so many stones yet skipped on the water, Laura. So we'll do this again and we'll go deeper and deeper.
I would love that. I'd love that. Thanks, Ben.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, everyone. Okay. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.